Hello, this is Foster Brown, and we've got a whole studio full of people here to help answer your questions about computers. During the summertime, between 5 and 6 p.m. in the evenings here on WJR, it's a time for we open the shop here to answer your computer questions. All you have to do is give us a call at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. And we got some folks here from Comcast to help answer some questions for you, too. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to open the doors to our shop here to answer your questions about your computers. And again, the phone number is 800-859-0957. I'm Foster Brown, the producer of the program and co-host, along with Gary Baker, who's been with me now. We're working on our 18th year here, answering people's questions. This is how we started, right, Gary?
That's right. And we've never strayed from the two things that we said we were going to do, why we're doing this show, because it's certainly not the money. and that is to promote internet technology here in the area. And we're going to do that here in a minute, but also then to help people have a better online experience. And that's where you come in as the listeners. You have to call us with questions and give us an opportunity to maybe help you have that better online experience.
And Kevin at White Lake is already lined up, and the rest of you can come on and line up with him at 800-859-0957. Part of the crew answering questions here. Also, Mr. Ed Rudell, good to have you here, Eddie.
Always great to be back. Got the kids back from college and disinfecting their computers as we speak.
And Cal Carson with us as well.
And you don't mean with bleach.
No.
You know, it's a real miracle, Gary. I think you guys have done something here because this internet thing seems to be catching on. So you're doing a good job.
We're also delighted to have with us in studio Michelle Gilbert, who is a vice president for public relations at Comcast. And in the last hour, by the way, Michelle did a great presentation along with Bill, who was with her as well. Bill Babbitt is one of the techs there. And Bill has been helping us to understand Wi-Fi. So if you listen to our podcast, which will be available Sunday night on our homepage at internetadvisor.net, you'll be able to catch that portion. But if you go to our homepage right now, you'll also be able to see the printed article, which is the four tips for getting spring technology checkup from Comcast. It's there. You can just click on that. You can read those. And Michelle, thank you for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. We're going to have you available, by the way, along with Bill. Bill is here as well as a tech for Comcast. So if you have a question about something technical on Comcast, she brought him along as insurance.
Right. I call him my security blanket.
Security blanket. All right. So Bill's going to be here to help with that as well if you have a particular question. Some fascinating things came up in the last hour in terms of, for instance, bandwidth and also how certain devices can actually kind of dumb down your Wi-Fi. We'll talk about that as well. But again, the number is 800-859-0957. And we have we have here with us every week, and that's Mr. MI Tech News. Mike Brennan is with us with a brand new web page, and you're certainly must be feeling mighty proud about having that up, Mike.
Well, it's like birthing a baby. It's been going on for 9 months, but finally we got her done.
Oh, great. And that's a brand new website. You go to mitechnews.com. And by the way, what is that? That's just a great collection of both print and now audio and soon video information about technology in the state of Michigan and entrepreneurship. And let's give us some examples, Mike, of the kind of things with some headlines that you have there. Challenge Detroit hosts the final for Fall Fellows. What's that about?
Well, it's been going on, obviously, for 3 years. This is the fourth year coming up. And it's all these really great entrepreneurs from around the country are encouraged to come to Detroit, live here, work here, do internships here. Some of them are from the area. They're not all outsiders. But most of them stay, and they stay working in Detroit. They're part of the revitalization that's going on in the downtown corridor with all those young entrepreneurs down there. And so the fourth-year interns are being tested now, and the ones that are selected, the 25, they start next fall.
Wow. Okay. Another one. By the way, I just came back from Central Michigan University, where my granddaughters are wrapping up their studies, and I see that they've gotten a grant to aid in the Great Lakes Coastal Wetland Studies.
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of mathematic model that they're going to work up, and it's going to essentially identify which areas need restorations and what's feasible, in other words, what we can afford to do. And so they've got a $100,000 or so dollar grant that they're going to use to build this model, and then CMU is going to execute this.
And, you know, Mike, in our first hour, we talked about Elon Musk's Powerwall, that new battery that's available for both homes and businesses. And we had someone from Next Energy with us who was on the line, and he gave us a great deal of help in terms of figuring out what this technology was and also talking about the things that Next Energy is promoting. Dave Hurst was with us, who's the director of the market analysis at Next Energy. But you have a headline about their award that they just gave out, three awards, actually.
Actually, that wasn't on my list.
Oh, but, sorry. Snuck that one by you.
Yes. They gave out a series of awards a couple weeks ago, I believe it was. I sat in on that session, and it was for really cool technology that's being developed for the auto industry. And again, these are energy-related. They do different sort of things. They did that in conjunction with the MIT Alliance and a few other folks. So it was a great program, and it happened during the SAE conference.
By the way, folks, a warning, don't try to sneak these headlines by the editor. He's got too many to remember. Mike, these are just kind of examples, or if you will, little hors d'oeuvres of the things that you offer every week. On Fridays, you send an email out to people who are subscribers, and they get all of these headlines about news and technology and entrepreneurship, plus a lot of other resources like the podcast to our program and IT and the D and the Digital Divas and so much more that's coming down the line. And folks, you might think this will cost you an awful lot of money. Nope, it costs nothing. Simply go to internetadvisor.net. That's our homepage. Scroll down and then click on the subscribe now button, and that will simply be it. And then every week you'll get these headlines and many, many more, plus all the other resources that Mike Brennan has put together there. Mike, thanks again so much, and congratulations on your brand new website.
Boy, it looks nice.
Yeah, we're
nice,
excited,
Mike.
About it. Like I say, it's really cool. If you liked our newsletter, you'll love our website.
So. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Mike, for being there. That's a co-published or co-sponsored newsletter that we put together with MI Tech News. Hey, coming up, we've got a lot of people in the studio here, including Michelle Gilbert, who is with us as well, and Mr. Babbitt, who is the tech here, is in studio, along with Gary, Ed, and Cal. So here's the phone number again, 800-859-0957. We're going to start taking your questions in just a moment when we return with the Internet Advisor. Well, the computer store is open here, as it will be all throughout the spring and summer. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Ed Riddell, and Cal Carson here, ready to answer your questions at 800-859-0957. And today, we're also fortunate to have Michelle Gilbert, who is the Vice President of Public Relations for Comcast, with us. Michelle, thank you again for being with us in here.
My pleasure.
And we have Bill Babbitt, who is he's one of the technical supervisors there also, behind the scenes at Comcast. And so,
glad to be here.
Thanks. And so if you have a question, by the way, that might bounce off of Comcast and some of your service that you're getting from them, we have people here who can give you some answers as well. But for the rest of you out there who simply have a problem with your computer, it's not working, or your email, or whatever else it may be, this is when you step into our little computer shop here and get some answers to your questions. And it's just as simple as calling 800-859-0957. And there's a whole bunch of people in here. So,
and you want to call now because the prices are at its best.
Kevin from Wolverine Lake, thank you, sir, so much for hanging on there. And how can we help you here at the Internet Advisor?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I thank you for your help. Real quick, I've been playing around with IoT stuff, ESP 8266 from Espresso, some little Wi-Fi modules you can pick up and use, run AT commands from, and things like that. But anyhow, I've been using Hyperterminal all the time and updating the modules as I go on. And I have found an app for a Chromebook. Chrome runs faster. It's, you know, I'm not used to SSH or Crush. So I'm wondering if you got a decent extension that I can use off a Chromebook or even an Android phone, if I can run AT commands to this little module, a serial interface. I'm using a virtual USB right now, FPDI. And the newest version I updated on these little modules just don't work too good.
Hang on, Kevin. Because you've gotten deep into technology here, and the guys here, they're getting frowns on their faces.
Well, you know, because, well, I know that old modems used to use AT commands, and I wasn't aware that Wi-Fi modems also supported that. I mean, I know there were a number of commands you could get into the back end of wireless routers that accepted commands, but those were mostly Linux commands. What were you referring to again? Because you're messing with the serial interface.
Yeah, it's an ESP AT8266 Wi-Fi module from Hong Kong or whatever, and you're able to control lights, relays, buzzers, etc. It's got its own built-in. You can have it make it a server, send data to a link, retrieve data, etc. It's a real nice module, and I'm just communicating with it using AT commands, which it has stored into it. And I was using a app for Chrome called Browser Serial Port Monitor.
Okay.
And I was able to communicate with it 11.5.2 with no problem. But when I updated the SDK on it, I can't seem to get a decent serial serial extension to work off of Chrome. Hyperterminal works great off the Windows, but you know, I got to sit there and it takes a while to boot and all. And Chromebook works fast. I'm not familiar
Okay, hang on. We got a lot of information to sort through.
Well, because basically I haven't messed with anything. Since he's talking about using like Hyperterminal to send serial commands to a serial interface,
right.
And I haven't messed with that in years. And he was also talking about the Chromebook. He was using something, but now it's stopped working
because of an update that took place.
Right, right. So okay. I don't think I can help him with this.
Okay. Did you understand any of that?
A little bit. He's looking for a browser extension, so I no.
Yeah. It sounds very specialized. I don't think I could find anything.
You know, the one place you might want to go take a look at, though, would be Usebox Project. They do a lot of ESP8266 AT command type stuff. Whether or not they have an extension for you, I don't know, but they definitely have a community portal out there that you can check into.
What is that again, Ed? Cal?
It's called Usebox. It's spelled actually UZEBOX.org, and it's an open source project out there for ESP8266.
So it's UZEBOX.org. And I think, you know, this is one of those good cases where, Kip, certainly we don't have all those experiences, but you've got a user group out there that does focus on this, and I think they'll be a great resource for you. So that?
And you've tried just Google, right, their extensions, because they have a fair number of extensions for Chrome right on the Google site.
Yes, I've gotten one of them. Okay. I was able to use if I have these little modules and older SDKs. But when I mop it up to the new SDK, has some really great commands, it just don't talk to it where the dynamics.
Okay, Kev, it does sound like you're going to get more results from going to a user group where people speak the same language you do and have experienced some of those problems.
And also check developer.google.chrome, too, not just support.
There you go. All right, Kev, hey.
Because that's where you'll get a lot of the people that do this type of fiddling with Chrome that you may find somebody that's already done it.
Okay, Kev, I appreciate that.
You know what this reminds me of? I was talking to a guy last week, and I told him I built a tube amp for my son for guitar. Little did I know this guy actually designs and builds studios, radio studios, and guitar studios and music studios for people. He went off to planet Pluto and back, and I'm still sitting there with my eyes glazed over because he specializes in this stuff.
I think that may have happened for most of our listeners and everybody in the studio here, but Cal, thank you for digging out that user group because that's an excellent way of handling those problems.
This is really interesting. Now he's got me amazed because I'm looking at this, and it's kind of like this whole ESP8266 is kind of like shortwave for Wi-Fi and stuff like that. You can do all sorts of crazy things with it. You can hook up hardware to it and control it.
You know, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking ham radio or shortwave when he was talking about this.
Well, folks, you don't have to have anything quite that complicated to call in here. As a matter of fact, I hope that Mark from Royal Oak has a little simpler question for us.
Well, here's the good part about it.
We need easy questions here.
The good part about it is from this point, we're going downhill and there's nothing to lose.
So if you have a simple question for us, that's quite all right. 800-859-0957. Hi, Mark from Royal Oak. Welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Good afternoon. I have a HP CPU. And I'm looking to upgrade the processor on that from an i5 to looking at an i7.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have to be concerned about different plugins on those? Are there different sockets for those?
I don't think you're going to be able to plug an i7 chip into an i5 socket. It's not going to work that way.
I see. They're completely different sockets on those.
Yes, I'm almost positive on that. And I got to be honest with you. How old is that computer?
2012.
Oh, that's not too old. But you know something? Why would you want to just swap out the processor on it? What are you trying to achieve?
The unit's running fine, pretty much. And I thought, well, let's just go for a little faster processor and then some more RAM, because it is a little short on RAM.
Do the RAM first.
Yeah.
Okay. And put it in there and see how it performs, because you'll be surprised that it will probably perform a lot better than you'd expect just by putting more RAM in there. I don't even think you'll have to swap out the processor.
Well, and the other thing is going to solid-state hard drives.
Oh,
you
yes.
You get such a performance boost on a solid-state hard drive than you...
The only challenge, though, is getting enough space on one, because if you need a really large hard drive, solid-state is going to cost you a lot of money.
How about hybrid?
Hybrid would be the next way to go.
And that's what you did with your Mac. You got a hybrid with, what was it, 64 gig as like the first, you know, is it a 64 gig?
It's got, this one's got 16 gig of SSD, and then it's got a 1 terabyte hard drive on it.
Right, and so when you load Windows, Windows is really only about 2 gigabytes. So if you had a Windows system and you got a hybrid like that with a 16 gig, Windows would load... and that was my finger snapping fast.
Nothing broke. Nothing broke here in the studio. Yeah.
Because what these hybrids, and you were explaining this to me, Cal. Well, how these hybrids do is the most frequently used files that are accessed on the hard drive are put onto the solid station portion.
Right,
that's
right.
Integrated within the software on the hard drive itself.
Correct.
Okay. Hey, Mark, what's your purpose for doing this? What are you trying to achieve?
Oh, I just have multiple programs open all the time, multiple windows on there, and I thought, okay.
So that's not going to help you a whole bunch.
Memory is definitely the best way to go.
These guys, I think, were right. You could do it, but most everybody online is saying that it's not worth it.
Mark, we're going to have to toddle along here, but thank you for your question. Thank goodness it was easier. 800-859-0957. Waiting for your call. By the way, I want to say a quick thanks to the guys behind the glass, Eric Dorsch and Mike Stepp, for being in here. And Shannon, I saw Shannon back there, too. Thank you, guys, for all of your help. Now, listen, we got to get them busy back there. There's a phone line open right now at 800-859-0957 for whatever question you have. But we have a very special resource in studio here, and I just want to tell you quickly about that. We were fortunate. By the way, this is a two-hour show. You're only hearing this hour live, but we do an hour before that. And we had Michelle Gilbert is with us. She's a vice president of PR at Comcast. And Michelle was in to talk about an article that we have a link to on our homepage. And it is simply called the 4 Tips for Spring Technology Checkup. Okay. And thank you very much for that, by the way, Michelle, for giving it that to us to pass on.
My pleasure.
And by the way, you can listen to our podcast and listen to the whole discussion that's there. Bill Babbitt is with her. And Bill, you were working with, in particular, with networks, right?
Correct.
In the background. So what I want to do, folks, is tell you this. If you have Comcast as your provider and you have been having some concerns about whether you're getting as fast a throughput as you should or not, this is a good time for you to call, because we have this very special resource in studio with us at 800 again. 859-0957. Ed, you were going to say something before we talk to Bill.
I was going to say, you just opened up a big old can of worms when you said that. But, you know, a previous caller was talking about, is it possible for me to upgrade an i5 processor system and actually put an i7 in there? In some cases, the answer is yes. You can do that. But is it really worth it? There are 4 or 6 different socket types for the i5, i7.
Okay.
And what they were saying is basically, if you buy an off-the-shelf computer, they're not going to give you a motherboard that supports an i7 speed front bus, and you throw an i7 there in there. So if you buy an off-the-shelf like an HP or a Dell, it really isn't worth it. But if you're a homegrown person and you bought that brand new Asus motherboard, right, and you're going to go, I'm going to get the i5 processor, and then a year down the road, I'll throw the i7 in there. That would probably work for
Bill, you. Bill, you were nodding vigorously. Yeah, you were that.
Absolutely.
It's the old
I want to make sure I describe it right, because you explained it to me, and it made perfect sense, so I wanted to reiterate it.
Yeah, Cal?
You know, the coolest thing about this, having these folks from Comcast in the studio with us, don't tell anybody, listen. You don't have to wait on hold. They'll get you really fast here. You know, you don't even have to get in line. You just call in and get an answer instantly. But I do want to ask a question of Bill for sure.
Sure.
Let's talk about security on our wireless with Comcast.
Yep.
Is there a way that we set it ourselves, or does Comcast as a service take care of that for us?
We make a recommendation, right, to the security level that you have. Now, each security level, you know, it's going to affect your speeds. So we run into open networks, right? Customers like that speed with an open network for their Xbox. Never a good idea to have an open network. Some customers tell us they like the 128-bit WAP encryption, right? Not very robust. WPA. PSK2, right? That's what we recommend. That's what we set up when we go to your house.
Now, can I go in and change that password after you set it up, or is it locked to the router itself?
No, absolutely. It's your network. You can make it, you know, whatever you want your SSID to be and whatever you want your security password to be.
Can you direct us to where under Xfinity's website you would go to get instructions to do that,
yeah,
or is that something
you'd
like to call in for?
No, Xfinity Help and Support. I believe there's some VOD content, too, that explains
VOD
how
VOD is?
Video on demand, I'm
Thank
sorry.
You very much.
We won't
okay.
speak in
Because
acronyms.
We're radio here,
right.
And we always just do radio on demand, so I understand the confusion.
Which would be ROD.
Yeah, ROD.
So you can get help and support in those places. It'll explain to you how. And then, obviously, there's your forums online where everybody's talking about those Xfinity routers and what you can do to configure
them. Yeah, because there was a point in time where it was pretty much locked out, but it that's been reversed because they realized people like customizing things.
Right.
Yes.
And when a tech comes to your house, right, you make sure you tell them, hey, I want the network set up my way, and they should be asking customers too.
I want it called Big Bob's Network, and I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I want it, my dog's named Winnie. Make it Winnie, please. Whatever you want, right?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, again, the number 800-859-0957. If you have a question, please, for us about computers in general, or if you have a question in particular about your Comcast service, please feel free to ask. And that's 800-859-0957. I want to get back to something, Bill, you mentioned in the last hour because it fascinated me. I had no idea that this was the case, that you can actually slow down your Wi-Fi connection by using older devices. And you said something about your router only speaks one language?
Correct. So let's talk about wireless B, G, and N, right? Mixed networks.
Okay.
So, you know, you've got, like, use myself as an example. I'm home alone on a Saturday. My family's gone. I run a mixed mode network on 2.4 gigahertz. I have my iPhone, right? That's connected to N. My speeds are great. Average about 54 megabits per second on that band. My kids come home. My daughter has an older iPod, which is only wireless B, right?
Mm-hmm.
She connects. Now I'm only doing those B speeds on my device.
So you can blame it on her.
I can blame it on her, absolutely. So we talk about upgrading technology, right? And then you can divide your network up. I know you had asked about running a 5 gigahertz network that's locked out for just you, right? I do that at my house, too. I have my 5 gigahertz speed.
That's where you
band.
Get your speeds back then.
Right, that's okay. Where I get my speeds back. And then I put the rest of the family on the 2.4 gigahertz network.
Yeah. Yep. See, because otherwise they would blame you for not upgrading their technology, all of your kids' technology,
absolutely.
Right?
Ooh, you're right, that could backfire.
Hey,
yeah,
we got a question from
it
old,
would in our house.
we have a question from an old friend of ours, Paul, who used to be in Harbor Beach and now is in Houston, Texas. Hi, Paul. How you doing? Welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, you don't have to welcome me. I've been there so long.
Now, you have a question about hotspots.
Yes. This is for your Comcast person.
Sure.
Okay, there was talk a few months ago about Comcast making hotspots all over the place using people's modems from Comcast.
Yes,
that was being
rolled out in the Texas area as one of the first pilot areas, right?
Yeah, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we've rolled it out. We've got millions of hotspots all across the nation. And the idea behind it is a separate SSID so that anybody who is an Xfinity customer can use that hotspot in order to save on their wireless data plan and have the experience that they expect with Xfinity. Now, you as a customer, if you don't want to turn on that second SSID, you have the option to turn it off. We kind of think of it as a pay it forward. If you know, the more people who are willing to use it, the more hotspots that will be available.
It's almost like a mesh network in that sense, isn't it? It's not quite, but I mean, it's kind of like, am I right on that, Bill? Yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of a mesh network, right? And what it does is, so I'm at my house, I have my Xfinity, and I go to my buddy's house, I want my same Xfinity speeds, and then we can reciprocate that, right? When he comes to my house, I don't have to put him on my main network with his older computer. I can say, nope, sign into Xfinity, and you get your same speeds through the Xfinity network. So,
because he's an existing Xfinity customer.
Correct.
There is an authentication that takes place initially, first
absolutely.
Time, and that's your Xfinity ID and password.
Correct.
Once that's set up on your device,
right.
smart device, or whatever it is. Any Comcast or Xfinity device that's set up that way, you get free internet access.
Correct. And I'll tell you, my children love it because when they go to Starbucks, when they go to the library, any place that has Xfinity, they can sign in and get their same speeds and the same experience that they get at home, right?
And the point that was made early on is that you're not going to compromise the existing Comcast customers' home wireless by turning this network on.
Correct.
Comcast or an Xfinity has made
But you have to have a newer modem, don't you, for that, though?
Yeah, you do have to have the newer XB3 modem now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What's the modem called? The
XB3.
XB3, okay.
The caller was going to say something?
Yeah, now I can go out and purchase a modem right now and not have to pay you for the rental fee on your modem. And this brings up 2 points. Can I still do that if you want me to be a hotspotter on that new modem that you just mentioned?
Hmm.
That's part number
one. In other words, the part A of the question is, instead of using the Comcast modem that has these dual functions,
which he has to pay a monthly rental fee on,
right?
Yeah, can I go out and buy an off-the-counter one?
Absolutely.
That has that same function.
No, it does not have the Xfinity Wi-Fi in it.
There you go.
That was a great question.
That was
good question. What was your second part, Paul?
The second part is that if I purchase, which my son already has here, he has the modem that is not from you people, and if we run into a problem and we have to call you up for repair and have a serviceman come out, do I get charged because it's not your modem?
We don't charge when it is our devices.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want us to service and it's a separate device, yes, there would be a charge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody else's device, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted to bring up one other point is that related to those hotspots, something to think about. You know, we invite people into our home and we trust the people we invite into their home, our home, so we don't think, why would we want them to use that second SSID? But you know, you've got kids. Your kids, the friendships go in and out, and sometimes kids can do things, people can do things that you wouldn't necessarily trust. So it's to support, to secure your own network.
I got
and to keep it secure.
I got you. There's another way of securing it. Hey, okay, Paul, thank you for calling, buddy.
Thank you for taking the call. Take care, guys.
As always, it's good to have him on, and he asks good questions as well. Hey, Steve from Detroit and David from Sterling Heights will be back with you in just a moment, and we're going to wrap things up as well with Michelle Gilbert here and with Bill Babbitt in from Comcast and with our usual group of suspects in here answering your questions. Looking forward to helping you, as we do every Saturday at this time at 800-859-0957. And don't forget, then, on Sunday nights, we post the two-hour podcast of this program from our homepage, internetadvisor.net. Well, thank you very much for being with us here. This is how this works, folks, and we work all spring and summer. We are here from 5 until 6 o'clock, and the door is always open here during this time. Bring your questions in on your computers. We, free for nothing, we'll be happy to take a crack at answering them. Sometimes if they're really complicated, we can refer you to somebody who can help. And by the way, speaking of referring you to somebody, thank you very much, for being in here. Michelle Gilbert, Vice President for Public Relations at Comcast. It's been
you
so good having you.
My job.
I just changed your job.
And here's
the public
race.
Is human, so it kind of goes
Bill
together.
My job.
And Bill Babbitt's here as well. Thanks, Bill, so much for helping.
You're welcome.
With our network connection questions from Comcast. By the way, our first hour of the program, we did a lot more talking about their 4 tips for cleaning up your technology. Some really, really interesting stuff in there you should listen to. Again, starting on Sunday night, our podcast with Comcast on it will be there available for you for download.
Say that 3 times fast.
From our internetadvisor.net homepage. Okay, let's go back to, let's see, we've got Dave from Sterling Heights with us here. Dave, how you doing? Can we help you? Hello, David. David may have just dozed off. So let's go to Steve. Hey, Steve from Detroit, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
My computer network got something called the Tesla crypto virus. And it basically encrypted all of my Word documents, all my pictures.
Oh.
I called an IT company. They were able to kill the crypto virus, but everything's still encrypted.
Yeah, encrypted, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And from what I understand about this, because we've received several emails from this, and I've replied to them, that unless you have one of the earliest crypto viruses, there's no way of decrypting this. Unless you pay the ransom of $200 or $300. Matter of fact, there were several police departments in the United States that actually did pay the ransom just to get their data back.
Right.
Because they hadn't backed it up, right?
Because they hadn't backed it up.
Now, have you backed your material up, Dave, your documents and things like that? Have they been backed up?
Well, we were doing nightly backups, and then Java forced an update through, and when the Java update went through, it turned the backup off, and unfortunately, I didn't double-check.
How long ago did that happen, Steve?
The crypto virus?
No, the backup breakdown.
About 3 months ago.
Ouch.
Okay. Well, that's not really that bad. I mean, it depends how much information you actually have on your computer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, quite a bit.
Ouch, 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 ouch. So you...
Yeah, but here's what the deal is. He'll get back all of his data up to that particular date.
Yes, yes.
And then he'll just build forward from there. So it's not like the whole world is completely lost. It's just that what you'll have to end up doing basically is you will wipe your computer clean, and then you will reload the operating system, put all the latest and greatest patches to the operating system on it, add whatever antivirus protection that you want to put on top of that, and then you'll go back and get that data that you have backed up on that old backup, restore it back onto your machine, and then just go forward from there.
But it does sound, and folks, we have to say this, and you said it, the bottom line is if you get hit with one of these crypto viruses where it says, you know, pay us $300 and we'll give you your information back, first of all, that's blackmail, and I don't, you're going to be on the hook from then on for these people. But the best defense against that is to back up now. And I know this has been our mantra from forever, Cal.
And we were talking about backup solutions. You were talking about cloud services.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are many different cloud services out there that you can use to backup. But some people have so much data and so many photos or videos that pretty soon you cannot use the standard free cloud services. You have to start paying for those, you know, cloud services.
Well, but
services.
Cal and I pay for CrashPlan. What is it, about 50?
I pay for CrashPlan.
Is it $50 a year?
Well, I pay $150 a year for it. I can back up to 10 computers on it, and I can back up unlimited amounts of data. Matter of fact, one of my computers is 1.5 terabytes, and it's fully backed up.
So, Steve, I don't know, what had you been using for your backup solution before this?
Well, you know, I'm not a techie.
Okay. Neither.
I brought an IT company in that, you know, and they set everything up, and it was working fine for, you know, for a long time, and now all of a sudden, you know, this hit. And I used to make a habit of, you know, saying, bringing them in every now and then and saying, prove to me there's something there. Because I don't trust anybody, but then, you know, life gets in the way, and time gets away from you, and I didn't do it for a while, and now this.
You're kind of like a perfect candidate for an online backup solution.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have a full IT department that's there to constantly keep an eye on that sort of thing, at least with an online backup situation, provided that you have your computers connected and online on a regular basis, that'd be about the best way for you to go. That way you don't necessarily always have to check it per se.
Oh, and I bet you he's paying more than that just for have that IT company create that service for him years ago and then to make a follow-up. He's probably paying more than the $100 or $25 that it would cost for a cloud backup solution.
Well, not to mention that the backup is just the cost of business anyway.
Yeah.
If you're running a business and you're not backing up your computers, you're just skating on thin ice. Yeah. There's only two types of people out there, those who wish they backed up, and those who need to back up. You just make your choice.
You know, the other thing, too, Steve, is that if you get into a situation like this, I know with CrashPlan at least, for instance, if you've got a business that's running and suddenly get locked up by this kind of thing, they will actually deliver a hard drive to you for a certain amount of money.
Sure.
But they will literally give you a hard drive with all of your most recent stuff backed up on it, ready to roll.
And just like Gary says, large companies like that are backing up your data, they have to always have the most aggressive programs out there to make sure these type of viruses cannot attack your data, so it's always protected.
Now, Gary, one of the things you said is you're a subscriber and for your whole family to Microsoft's 365 program, right?
That's right.
And with that, you get a lot of storage.
Oh, we do. And if you, if it's just you have to go more, it's cheap to buy more.
Yeah.
So it's like I just.
But they've been increasing their amount of stuff that you can store online incredibly.
It is, and so I never use my C drive on my computer at all. Right. I just don't use it. I always back up to the cloud. Yep. I always store in the cloud and back up in the cloud.
So, Steve, we don't want to sound hard-hearted here, because the bottom line is, if you've been hit by that crypto virus, those things are locked, period. And then you have, however, backups at least up to last 3 months ago, right?
Yes.
And then I would say, you know, make sure you got that material. As you said, show me that you got that 3 months of material, or up to 3 months ago. And then I would say you need to really seriously think about investing either in a cloud service like
CrashPlan, Mosey, Carbonite, whichever one you want to use.
Whichever one you want.
Microsoft 365, whichever one.
Yeah, there are free ones up there you can use, you know.
He's a business. He's not going to do free.
No, I agree.
He's going to pay the price, but it's just the price of doing business.
Yeah, right. And you can back them all up in one place.
Correct.
And they provide you additional services as well. So
before we wrap up, Steve, anything else that you had a question on?
No more questions, but I did do the off-site backup the next day.
Good for you.
Signed up for service because it's something you have to pay attention to, unfortunately, in today's technology world, on a daily basis. And
absolutely.
People have to get by me, and it's the penalty I guess I have to pay. And
Steve, make sure you're not alone. We've all been there.
No, you are not alone there, my friend. Sorry that it had to happen to you, Steve, but take care of yourself. Hey, I want to thank you again, all of you, for being here, my crew as well. And Michelle, thank you so much for stepping in.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And by the way, again, go to internetadvisor.net and you will see, you can click and read those spring technology checkup tips. And Bill, thanks so much as well for being with
us. Thanks for having me.
A lot of great help from folks from Comcast. We really appreciate that. Mike Brennan, thank you for arranging that. Guys, thank you. Next week, Gary and I won't be here, but the guys will be here. We have a whole bunch of people coming in to answer your questions. And if you have a question during the week, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on that Contact Us button, send us an email, and we'll do our very best to get you an answer or connect you with some resources. And don't forget, again, on Sunday night, we post the 2 hours of our podcast. That's our previous hour plus this live one with the questions, all there for you to download and listen to at your leisure. On behalf of all the guys here, I'm Foster Brown. Have a great day.